That's the extent of my expertise. Back to Romans, Luke 10. I mean, Luke, chapter 10. I'm not well. We're in verse 7. And it's talking about when he's sending the 70 out, his instructions to them. And this one is an important one. In the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as I give thee. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. So we started looking at this word for remain. It's the same word for abide. And it means to go someplace and then stay. And it's the word, the verb form is meno, M-E-N-O. The noun form is mone, M-O-N-E, and that's the word that's translated mansions. And it was assumed by everybody that the writers, that the people knew what he was talking about, because the Seder is the place of remaining. And so the Seder is the place of abiding. And you abide in the same calling wherein you're called. Well, people like to wander around and say, well, what's my calling? Well, your calling is Jesus Christ. Your office is Jesus Christ. How that manifests itself is none of your business, none of our business. So you can't teach somebody to be a teacher, or you can't teach somebody to do X, Y, Z. It has to be the natural expression of being, of remaining in the place wherein you are called. Everybody understand that a little bit? All right, we got a couple others. Let's go to 1 John 2 and look at, we're looking at remain. This is a biggie. Start in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And little children, it is the last time. As you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. They went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now the word they would have continued is the word meno, remain. Now it doesn't have say anything, it has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with this idea that God isn't calling me or you, he's calling an us. And the us is whatever aspect of the body that of the bride of Christ that group is. And so it's none of our business whether they're saved or not. But the idea with the preaching of the cross, then those that hear will remain. Amen? Everybody got that? What? You're doing
it's
it.
Not, it's just like an automatic. It's not a...
It's not a should or ought to.
No, and it's not even new effort involved. It just...
It is what it is.
It is.
All right. Let's go to 2 John. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. Now, this isn't talking, it's written to a woman. It's written to the bride, the elect lady and her children. So it's to us as much as it is to anybody. I want to read the whole thing because it's really important. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Now, the reason that's so important is the truth, or Jesus Christ, remains in us. He's dwelling in us forever. He remains. He doesn't go anywhere. If you don't feel as close to God as you used to, who moved? He didn't. All right. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. The commandment is an it. The commandment is a he. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. So that's kind of an important chapter. It says the same thing. The deceiver is the one that does not know that Jesus Christ is in them. Got it? And if you don't, there's only one way you will know that you know that you know that he is in you. That instead, when you're confronted with something, instead of leaning on your own arm of understanding, you must wait only on him at all costs. Then you'll find that that's repeated over and over and over again, and you will know without any shadow, without any doubt, that he is your only self.
This speaks to me as to anyone who's trying to make a religion out of Christ, out of Jesus, whatever way it comes down and all. It sounds good, but...
It's just a philosophy. It's the physicality of it. It isn't the thought of it.
Right, because the thought of it is another religion.
All right. Let's go to... Let's see it. Let's see this thing in regard to time. Let's go to John 21. He'd just given Peter these three commands about feeding his sheep, feeding his lamb, blah, blah, blah. So now, in verse 19, then he said, he's talking about Peter. And well, let's read it. In verse 18, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walked whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." And this signified that this he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" And Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." What is that to thee? Follow thou me.
Mind your own business.
Amen. All right, let's go to Philippians. Again, a couple more. Chapter 1. Verse 21. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." If you knew only one scripture, that would be it. "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith." Now, the word "abide" there is meno, to stay in one place. Okay? One more. First, go back to 1 John. Back to 1 John. I skipped over a verse that I shouldn't have. In chapter 2. So let's start in 15 again. We're going to read 15 through 17. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Now remember, love there is the verb. It means to give breath to, give importance to. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." You can't overemphasize how important this is. Why? Why did he say that? "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." It's everything in time and space is what he's talking about. Because everything in time and space denigrates with time. So it can't be truth. It changes with time. It can't be true. So anything that changes with time is not worthy of worship or love, according to the scriptures. But you're doing it.
This is the major call to repentance.
Amen.
Because everything in the world is always worth trying to make. That's flesh.
It's trying to give it breath. You got it. That's why you got to see the emptiness of it all.
And that's the nature of man. And that's what we're...
That's why you die. All right. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth, meno, forever. Now in truth, the place that we are abiding is the New Jerusalem. But that New Jerusalem has to have a place in time and space, and that place is called the Seder, or the mansion. And let's look at that one more time. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. No. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now again, believe is what? Faith is what? It's a verb. What is the act of believing? What is the evidence of the act of believing? Abandonment. Be careful for nothing. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now again, mansions is the word mone, the verb form of meno. It just means meno is abide or remain is the verb. Mone is the noun form of that word. Meno is go someplace and stay. And mone is the name of that place. Now, for some reason, the translators translated this place, these little silly groups that we have in the place, as a mansion. From his standpoint, and he's right. Whoever the King James translators were right, because the place of abiding, if you see clearly, is greater than any mansion in time and space. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You're still in Taos.
No, I'm in Music Valley right now.
Where? Okay, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, he came again on Pentecost to those that had accepted, but to those who were tired of making bricks without straw, to the poor. And we then prepared a place for him just as he prepared a place for us. We prepared that place by total emptiness, the acceptance of our death. That's what all the parables, like the parable of the 10 virgins and the parable of the one who has the right garment on, and on and on and on, they're all saying the same thing. Don't let the garment be spotted by the flesh. Make sure the oil is enough to last through the night. Even you can go to sleep, but don't think that And the only way you can make sure that you have enough oil to last through the night is for you to be empty, to have nothing. Everybody understand this? It's the opposite of everything we think. All right. So that everybody got a better understanding what remain means? Go to that house that will receive you and remain there. Back to Luke, chapter 10. And again, let's just repeat. Let's start in verse 3 of chapter 10. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Gather neither carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. Salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you would enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return unto you. And in the same house where the peace was received, remain, entering, eating, and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Now the scripture, this half scripture, the labor is worthy of his hire, is now used to justify Benny Hinn and Paul and Jan Crouch and all the rest of them living in mansions and just in every city they go to, living in $15,000 a night hotel rooms or suites because the labor is worthy of his hire. Isn't that a little ridiculous? But for them to take that half of a scripture and justify something that is odious to the mystery of God, it just drives me nuts. I don't feel like talking anymore. You probably don't feel like hearing anymore. Anybody have any response to any of this? Welcome back, Cotter.
Good to be back.
Take it, big guy. How did the oatmeal turn out?